minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. Good Friday afternoon. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. And, well, Colfax, this is a good one to get some news out. Kind of short notice. I don't even know if I told you this, but we're going to be live and on location on Monday. From Wiggins, Colorado, we've got Dalton Reisner is putting on this amazing free camp for youth football camp. Great opportunity for kiddos to learn out there, but it's the Reisner Up Youth Camp. And we're going to be out there at Wiggins High School doing a live show. We're going to get Dalton on the program. Really cool. First through 6th grade, 10 to 11:30, and then 6th through 8th grade, 2 to 3:30. So this is going to be pretty cool. They're going to have lunch. He's going to sign autographs, give them back to his own community. So just wanted to get that story out there. I'm going to be live and on location. I'm stealing NoCo Now's intern. Just call me Angel of the Morning. We're going to bring him. He's coming with me. He's a sports guy, so we're going to. I mean, if you're a sports guy wanting to intern and be in the sports world, what better way to start out than meet Dalton freaking Reisner, right? He's a cool dude. I have met him not in person. We've talked a lot. We tweet. We talked on the show a few times, but it'll be a fun opportunity to get out there to Wiggins. Where is Wiggins, by the way? Is it? Can you give me directions, Colfax?
I think it's like straight east of here.
Is it just straight? Okay.
Yeah.
Is it really just straight east?
I think you just take 34. Or no, maybe you have to go up.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. Is it considered Eastern Colorado?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's my name. This school is going to be a lot like mine. Like, so I'll be kind of at home somewhat because I went to Shinewell, small school guy, farm town type of deal. So I'm excited. Should be a lot of fun. It'd be great.
That's awesome.
Do a remote from a football field, and get to talk to Dalton Reisner while we're at it. So pretty pumped up. About that. Bear Insurance, of course, the sponsor. Great people. We had a chance. You met these guys too, Colfax, at our remote when we did our March Madness remote. They thought, of course, you were the guy, as most people do. They meet Colfax and everybody just, it's like they're starstruck.
I don't know what to say.
But Bear Insurance making it happen. They're in Wiggins. And we have listeners in Wiggins. So that's cool. It's a great connection there. So it should be a lot of fun on Monday. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. If you're new to the show, text KFKA to that number. We both got it right. You picked the Suns to cover, right? You went the safe route, and you took the Suns to cover. They did. They win 118-108. This was an interesting game. It was close in every quarter but the second. That was where it happened. Phoenix went off 30-16. And what a night of shooting three-pointers for Phoenix. They made 20 of 40. They are now second in the history books and for most three-pointers made in a finals game with 20. They're tied with Golden State, and then I believe it was it Cleveland? Cleveland had 24. That's the record. So, hey, Phoenix, it just feels like it. All right, I'm gonna say it, Colfax. I've been wanting this matchup. I mean, obviously I wanted the Nuggets. It's not as sexy as I would like it to be. I don't know what it is. If it's Giannis is a great star. Am I saying this out loud? Do I want the enemies of the NBA to be in the finals? Like, I want an enemy. And Chris Paul, as much as I want him to be an enemy, he's not. So the way I look at it, you either want a guy that you're really rooting for or a guy that you're really rooting against. And do we have that in these finals? Like, I like Giannis. I'm trying to get excited. I thought I would be. This is what, and I think over time, if this becomes the norm, that would be good. But I think of the '90s where the Bulls were in the finals, and you knew they were going to win, but it was Michael Jordan, and you're watching this greatness, and you know you're watching this greatness. And then I look at all of LeBron James finals. Okay, I'm rooting against LeBron, so I'm vested. I have a vested interest because I'm rooting against him. There's nobody that I really despise in this. I'm not nuts about Devin Booker and Chris Paul, but they're not like Golden State to me or LeBron. Am I going back on what I said there, Colfax? When I said I was kind of excited about this, I was happy about this. I got to be honest, as I'm watching these two games, nothing about it makes me go, "Oh, this is must see. This is intense. I love this."
Well, we haven't seen anything like this. Probably
not used to it.
Yeah. Ever.
Over time we get there. Yeah. And Chris Paul like, it's kind of a cool story. He's been, you know, in the NBA for so long, and he's never really sniffed a championship, and he's a championship caliber player, and that's cool. Giannis is a stud. Devin Booker is putting together some amazing games. What? He had his eighth game in these playoffs with 30 points. Eight games in these playoffs now with over 30 points. So it's just not doing it for me. Now, if this is the Nuggets and we're in Colorado, right? I mean, this would be an amazing series. This would be a blast. But it's not the Clippers. It's not the Lakers. It's not the Warriors. It's not the Nets like everybody thought. If you take Milwaukee out and put Brooklyn in, is this better? Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie, was he out? Yeah. Probably, because you have the common enemy that we're all rooting against, right? Super, super teams. We don't like those nationally. They're popular. We like to talk about them, but we like to root against them. Brooklyn's like the modern day Miami Heat back when LeBron joined forces with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. These are both fun stories, and sometimes both fun stories don't make the most compelling championship. And I'm not necessarily even harping on the smaller markets. I'm not really even going there. These are both like fun, positive stories. Two teams that don't get in the spotlight a lot. Milwaukee, of course, has been getting there because of Giannis, but still not anything like, you know, the top 10 teams in the NBA that we really discuss as far as popularity goes. So I don't know. It's all right. Maybe it's something that picks up, but it's just not. And let's face it, we talk a lot of local sports, and I'm not going to be an idiot here. Other than the NFL and college football, local markets have a harder time getting into the national scene if it's not your team. Other than the NFL, that's the way it is with fan bases, right? You know, the fan base was probably all in with the Nuggets and the Avs, and then when the Nuggets and the Avs lost out, I bet you a ton of people just fell back and stopped watching, or just were not interested anymore. And that happens. The NFL does not get that treatment. If the Broncos aren't in, fans in Colorado are still watching the NFL. Same with probably college football. Pete says, the Tigers, Wiggins, God's country. how big is Wiggins? It's bigger than Cheyenne Wells, but not by much.
Not by much, I bet.
Yeah. I mean, I know that when I was in school, they had a really good wrestling team. They were really good at wrestling. That's all I know about Wiggins. That's it. They were really good at wrestling from like 2002 to 2005. And then, just like the NBA playoffs, I didn't pay attention anymore. No, I am paying attention. I am watching. Milwaukee made this thing interesting again. They were making furious comebacks. It took Devin Booker to hit three threes in a row to really put the Suns up for good in this one. So they did make it kind of interesting. But it is strange. The NBA is dependent on their stars, lovable or hateable. That's LeBron James. You and I can sit here and argue and talk all day and say, hey, we can't stand him. He flops. He's extremely political. He never looks happy. Is he good for the NBA, though? I mean, I think he is. I mean, you're shaking your head.
Yeah, I don't think if he was in the finals, we'd be like, I mean, yeah, we'd have something to talk about. But it's the same thing we'd always be saying. Like you just said, he's flopping, tired of seeing his face, tired of hearing his antics.
But he's like Thanos in the Marvel comics. Nobody likes Thanos. He's bad. He snaps his finger and 50% of the population's gone, and we hate that guy. But without that guy, who's Iron Man fighting? Who are they fighting? Nobody.
I see your point for sure. I don't know.
It's the old-fashioned thing, sports hate.
Yeah.
And without ultimate love for a guy or ultimate hate for a guy, again, in the sports world, it's harder to get behind. I don't hate Chris Paul. Is he annoying to me? Yes, but I actually used to like Chris Paul a lot when he played for the Clippers. Didn't really care about him when he played for the Rockets. And didn't really pay much attention other than his great games. But I didn't watch a lot of Phoenix games this year. And then I didn't really get into it until the Lakers series. And then you're going, wow, Chris Paul trips people a lot lately. I mean, he's doing that more and more. The older he gets, the more kind of rec league basketball he plays. But he's fun. He is still kind of fun to watch. Even though he annoyed me, you know that if he were in a Nuggets uniform, we'd all be like salivating.
Yeah,
that would be fun to watch.
Maybe you could just let that annoyance just grow inside of you and let it turn into some hatred. And then you can have your enemy.
I need it. I need it.
Yeah.
I need to have that. That's important to me to have that. And it's, again, it's not in football. The Lions could go against the Bengals, and I'd still be interested. I'd still be like, whoa, doesn't matter. It's football. It's the Super Bowl. The story to get there was probably really phenomenal. But basketball and hockey, baseball playoffs are usually pretty fun. Even if you don't watch a lot of regular season baseball outside of the Rockies, we got news there. It's still, playoffs are still pretty fun in baseball. But basketball relies so heavily on their stars, and they're not used to this. This is uncharted territory. Now, this is probably good overall, but I'm very curious when the finals are done to see what the ratings are. And if the Suns going to sweep Milwaukee? Up 2-0, next two in Milwaukee. I'm always going to say this. Get that game three, that's your opportunity, Bucks. There you go. You got to win that one or this thing's done. It's toast. So I don't think they sweep them. I actually, when we make our picks, I'm already kind of hint. I'm thinking Milwaukee wins a game. But this is the one. If not, they may not sweep them. They may survive in game four, but this thing's over in five. Feels like it's going to be a 4-5 game series for Phoenix, and they get their first ever NBA championship. Now, if Phoenix returns next year and they start to kind of grow this little mini dynasty, then you start going, okay, all right, these guys are here to stay for real. They're already for real, but they're here to stay. And if Chris Paul comes back, which I can't imagine he doesn't opt in, but there's a chance he opts out to see if he can get more money or whatever. But he loves Monty Williams, so why not? How far away are the Nuggets? Now, I want to say this, and I'm saying this the nicest way possible. If the Lakers were 100% healthy, and Golden State had Klay Thompson, and who am I missing? Whatever. If we're fully healthy, and those two teams right there. Are we talking Phoenix in the finals? Are we thinking the Lakers get past? Are we thinking Golden State gets past them? And on the same side with Brooklyn. No Kyrie. Does Brooklyn get in? My point is, this felt like this was the surefire way to win a championship for Denver this year. Next year, everybody's coming back. Not Jamal until like the halfway point in the season. So next year, Golden State, who thanks to Steph Curry, made a furious comeback and made the play-in game. Now they got Klay Thompson back. I mean, what? They're going to be a top five team again. And the Lakers? LeBron and AD, they're back, healthy. LeBron's not getting any younger, though, so you got to worry about that. But still, I think we all kind of believe the Lakers are still a top-five team. So, all right, you got the Lakers back there. You got Milwaukee back there. Or not Milwaukee. You got Dallas probably up there. I was looking at the box score real fast. Dallas will probably be just as good. I know there's some frustration, and they got their new coach situation, right, with Jason Kidd. I'm just looking at it. Will Utah still be there? Probably a top. So Utah will be back. Phoenix will be back. The Lakers will be back. Golden State will be back. Stronger than ever. This thing's not going to get any easier. Portland's got a new coach situation, right? So that remains to be seen how they'll do. Clippers, assuming they keep everything going. I wonder, are the Nuggets as close as they were this time last year? When you saw the Nuggets lose in the Western Conference Finals in the bubble to the Lakers, did you still feel like, okay, it was the bubble. Porter will be really good this offseason. We'll get him back, and he'll be better. Murray will take another step. We thought they were going to get Jeremy Grant back. So you thought, okay, yeah, this team could do it. I think they could do it. Do you feel better about their situation or worse about their situation compared to the 9th of July, well, whenever the hell the bubble ended last year when they were knocked out 4-2? By the Lakers.
Definitely worse.
4-1. Did they win? Did they get swept?
No.
They didn't get swept. No. Is it 4-2 or is it 4-1? It's 4-1. They won one, right?
They won one.
Okay. So you feel worse?
Yes.
Yeah, I do too. Why is that? Is that because of...
Just doesn't seem like this... I mean, again, with all the injuries and whatnot, this team just didn't feel like they finished strong.
Yeah, even without Jamal.
Yeah, even without Jamal. It's just like a...
Porter looked, like I think he went back. He regressed in that situation.
Yeah.
Jamal out, whatever. Aaron Gordon looked really good. And again, he only had however many games with this team. So, we want to talk about the players all day. It felt like Mike Malone's coaching was a little weird, too. A little clunky at times. Joker's frustration level was at an all-time high when he got knocked out of that Phoenix game. If they would have made it close, if they would have lost in 7 or 6 to Phoenix, would we feel better?
Probably. Because then you can always just say, well, Jamal there, and they're going to the final.
Yeah, they get one over. But you're talking 4. You're talking you got swept.
Yeah.
You didn't just get barely, they didn't just skate, barely skate by. They swept you. So does Jamal make the difference? He makes the difference in a game or two. But I don't know that one guy, especially Jamal, who's not Chris Paul or Devin Booker. Yeah, I'm saying it. Right now, Devin Booker feels like he's a better player than Jamal Murray. I feel that way. To be honest, Colfax, I don't know that I feel worse or better, but the same questions are there, so maybe that's worse. Because the same question is, all right, when Jamal gets back, will he take the next step? And I hate saying it because I've said the next step 45,000 times on this show. But I don't want Jamal 12 points. Those days are done. Joker put those days behind him. Joker is now going to fall asleep and score 20. I need Jamal to get to that point. Porter, you took the next step in the regular season. But when Jamal went out, you got better. The scouting report started to focus on you, though. Can you move with the ball in your hands? Can you move with the ball not in your hands? You can't rely on setting up in the corner. And this is also on Mike Malone. You can't rely on setting in the corner and waiting for Nikola Jokic to do something crazy and absorb a double team and find you. You're going, because that's the scouting report. And that will be the same way at the beginning of this season. Teams are going to be focused on Porter. Now, when Jamal comes back, I'm curious to see how that really works. Pete says, championship, all those teams are healthy. If all those teams are healthy, they'll be lucky to make the playoffs. I'm telling you, it's not far-fetched to have that thought. That's a weird thought, but Colfax, look at this. Are we doing the play-in game? Did they confirm that? Are we doing that crap again? So we're taking 10 teams and we're doing a play-in. Let's pretend we're just going to go 8. Utah's back. Phoenix is back, especially if Chris Paul's back. Clippers are back. If they keep their situation the same, they may blow it up. Dallas is at least a playoff team. Lakers, Warriors, Portland's probably back. I'm 7. Denver's got to be there. That's 8. But then you're looking at teams like, all right, where are the Spurs? Where are the Blazers? Where are the Grizzlies who came on late? They won 38 games. They had an over 500 record. I think they're definitely a playoff team. There's no doubt. I think the Nuggets are better. Are the Nuggets better than the Clippers fully healthy? Yeah, it's tough. Maybe. Are they better than the Mavericks fully healthy? Yeah, I thought they'd be better than Phoenix, but everyone's proving to be worse than Phoenix at this stage. So, but are they better than the Lakers? Could they have beat the Lakers fully healthy this year? I don't know. I think until Porter becomes a real, legitimate threat, not a shooter, but a scorer. And I know I've had people say, Brady, you keep saying Porter's a scorer, he's a shooter. Well, yes and no. I mean, I've seen games where he does take a guy off the dribble and shoots at the free throw line extended or a little fadeaway shot. But there's a lot of times that he just kind of waits for the three, and that's when he becomes a shooter rather than a scorer. 24 minutes after the hour. What are the Rockies up to? I told you guys, I wrote a blog about this a few months ago. If you're boycotting the Rockies and then you lifted your boycott because Jeff Breidich was fired or let go or parted ways, you might want to at least keep those picket signs ready, and I'll explain next, 24 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Hall Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state, and the country? Tune into The Hall Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is Dalton Reisner, 2019 draft prospect out of Wiggins, Colorado. and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KSKS.
Shout out to a new sponsor of the program. They've been with us before, but I guess new again. Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. Over 41 specialists providing care across six medical campuses. Fort Collins, Loveland, Greeley, Longmont, Lafayette, and Westminster. Foot and ankle, hand and upper extremity, pediatric orthopedics, shoulder, spine, hip, and knee. So I like this connection because I talk about Rev Chiropractic a lot. When you get to that point where it's maybe just regular chiropractic care, because, again, you're going to have some serious, serious stuff, that maybe the next step would be Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. So I think there's a great connection there. Love our friends at Rev Chiropractic. Go there if it's things like I've been dealing with my back, and maybe it's a little bit worse, maybe a big accident that really has messed up your quality of life. Well, you talk to the folks over at Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. Our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day: who's going to be the top receiver for the Broncos next season? It's easy probably for some of you just to go Cortland Sutton. But Sutton had the year off because of the injury. And, I mean, on paper, he's the guy. But let's not forget this. If it is Drew Lock at the starting quarterback, he was more comfortable with Tim Patrick last year. Tim Patrick was a guy we didn't expect to have a monster season, but he was pretty reliable. 51 receptions. He was targeted 79 times. 51 receptions, 742 yards, and 6 touchdowns. And now you got the young guys in their second year, Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Jeudy had 52 receptions, 856 yards, and 3 touchdowns. KJ Hamler had his moments as well. He had 30 receptions, 381 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Cortland Sutton last time out, of course, we saw him in the one game, but in 2019, he had 72 receptions for 1,100 yards and 6 touchdowns. Is it obviously going to be Sutton? Or is Sutton going to be a guy that you see a lot of double teams going? Either way you want to slice it, the Hooligans are saying 37% of you are saying Cortland Sutton. And then Tim Patrick, which is interesting. More so over Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler. But the point is, when you put that number there, we've been talking about Demaryius Thomas. It's kind of been the last 2 weeks of discussing wide receivers and the Broncos' history with wide receivers. Well, talking about DT and, you know, Emmanuel Sanders and Rod Smith and Ed McCaffrey, like some really great receivers. And, you know, the Broncos have had really two, as far as wide receivers go, two greats in Rod and DT. Maybe we're close to the golden era, the golden age of wide receivers. Now that for the Broncos. Now, can you keep this group intact? Probably not. I would imagine one of those guys is gone next year, probably Tim Patrick. But even if you stick with Cortland Sutton, Jeudy, and KJ Hamler, you could be really looking at, wow, this is the best group of wide receivers the Broncos have ever had. And Jeudy has to bounce back. He had some drops. He had one game where he had a lot of drops, too, and that messed up his average. KJ Hamler, he battled some injuries off and on, but I liked him. I really did. Only 12% of the Hooligans think he's going to be the guy next season. But they've got a stacked-looking wide receiver core, which, again, does that put more pressure on a guy like Drew Lock? Say, hey, you have the weapons now. And I wrote a blog about this last year before the season. I said, I feel like the Broncos gave Drew Lock the keys to a jet when he should be driving an 89 old Ford pickup. Just get used to it. Last year was essentially your rookie year. They talked about dumbing down the offense throughout the season. Okay, they've tried to make those adjustments halfway through. But I tried to tell you. You're overcomplicating all this by adding all these weapons, and when you add a lot of weapons, you have to make the offense complex so that you can get those weapons involved. Do the Broncos go back and try to simplify? Well, that's tough, because now you're not getting Sutton, Patrick, Jeudy, Hamler, Noah Fant, Melvin Gordon. You're not getting these guys involved as much if it's a simple offense. So I'm intrigued by that. But if Drew Lock's the guy, don't be shocked if Tim Patrick suddenly emerges as the top wide receiver. And then I tell you what, Denver would have a decision to make next season because they put the tender on Tim Patrick. Do you keep a guy like Patrick and give him more money, knowing that, okay, Cortland Sutton's on there, and eventually your hope is that Jerry Jeudy and K.J. Hamler become guys that are going to warrant big numbers, big contracts. It's weird. It's a tough problem to have. You don't want to pay a lot of money, but you want all your players to get to that point where they're worth that kind of dollar. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting when you look at these contracts. I mean, Sutton's on his rookie deal still. He'll be off at the end of 2021, I think, right? So there will be some decisions. But I wouldn't be shocked if Drew Locke's the guy. He relied on Tim Patrick. He looked his way. He didn't seem like he clicked with Jerry Jeudy. First year, okay, we'll see if that... It sounds like Judy's kind of wanting Teddy Bridgewater. He's talked about his spin of the ball, the way he places the ball. So, I mean, Jeudy doesn't seem to fit necessarily with Locke. So I wouldn't be shocked if Tim Patrick comes out of this as the top dog next year. Yeah, we'll see. Go vote at theholeshow.com. That's our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Cortland Sutton's getting the majority of the votes at this stage. And then Tim Patrick, Jeudy and Patrick are tied now at 25%. So go vote again at theholeshow.com. 35 minutes after the hour, the Rockies are at it again. Patrick Saunders, who's covered the Rockies closely and really gets the pulse of this team, came out with a very interesting tweet yesterday that has a lot of Rockies fans back to picketing. We'll talk about it next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
The Power Trip, weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Good weekend idea for you, man. It's going to be hot, so go inside for any kind of activities. Highland Park Lanes, parties, events, or just good old-fashioned bowling. That's a regular. That's a go-to. We haven't been in a little while. I think they're getting scared of us, Colfax. I think old NoCo Now's Tanner Schwent and Mr. Preps Clark Johnson, I think they're getting a little worried.
I mean, we lit it up last time.
Yeah, we really did. Was it you, me, and
I think
Chad?
Yes.
We have Chad on our team from the owner of the he's basically KFKA, the owner of the tavern at St. Michael Square. He's part of the team. He does all my reviews with me, and he's KFKA. But we lit him up last time.
Oh, yeah. I think I took second every round, so I was the most consistent.
Was that the one where I had the monster score? I had one really high score?
Yeah, one really high.
What was that?
Was it over?
Did I get in the 160s?
Oh, I think it's more than that.
Was it more than that? Did I get in the 200s?
I think you might have been pushing 200.
Might have been, man.
I think my best score is like 160.
160? I think. Yeah. Well, because I was rolling. I was in the zone for one game. I was just in the zone. It was. I think I had a spare strike every time or something, except for like the last frame.
Yeah.
But yeah, love it, man. It's so fun there. It's relaxed. It's a great environment. I don't know. It's just a cool bowling alley, man. Highland Park Lanes. Great, great idea for the weekend because it is going to be a little bit of a scorcher. You remember my blog I wrote, Colfax, My Deep Thoughts from a Wandering Mind. You can find them all at theholeshow.com. It was about, hey, just because, a lot of people, right when Breidich and the Rockies agreed to part ways, everybody said, oh, okay, now I can watch because Breidich was the problem. And I said, hold that thought. The guy that hired Breidich, and before Breidich, O'Dowd, remember when O'Dowd was there, GM? They needed a look from the outside, and what did he do? They hired young and up-and-comer Jeff Breidich within the organization. And it kind of worked for a little bit, and then it went away. I think they could have hired Colfax, and I would have been getting an outsider's perspective. I'm not trying to offend you there, Colfax, but...
I'd take the job, I guess.
You take the job.
Yeah.
All I wanted was someone on the outside, because the way you're doing things right now, for the last... since the 90s, basically, but... Since the early 2000s when Montforts were a part of this thing, isn't really working. Patrick Saunders tweeted this out yesterday. After talking with Rockies president Greg Fiesel yesterday, I got the sense that interim general manager Bill Schmidt is a strong candidate to be the permanent general manager. I mean, you don't get much more of an insider than Bill Schmidt. He's been in this organization for a very long time. So, I mean, all Dick Monfort had to do was hire somebody from the outside. That's it. Anybody. There's going to be somebody that has baseball knowledge. I don't even think a lot of Rockies fans would be critical. We just want to see somebody come in with a fresh set of eyes and do things differently than what we're seeing. I mean, Bill Schmidt's been a part of this organization. Dick Monfort's organization. Dick said he was going to step back. Well, step back and let a new hire come in. Now, again, that doesn't mean Bill Schmidt's going to be the guy. Texter here, what's he supposed to say? Of course he wants to give Bill Schmidt confidence in his current role. How would you feel if someone was like, well, we're looking to can him after the season and bring in someone new? Sometimes you guys just want to create a story. No. You know what you could have said? How about this? Try this on for size. We're exploring all options. We love Bill, but we're going to do our due diligence. That doesn't commit to one way or the other. Yeah, I kind of agree with the texter. You don't want to just flat out say, oh, no, we're going outside, because you don't want to ruin his... But this is your job. You're used to talking to the media. You know how to talk to the media. That's what you say. And I don't know what he said exactly, but Saunders got enough. And Saunders isn't trying to throw anybody under the bus. But he heard enough that made him think that Bill Schmidt's going to be the guy. Which, what does that say to your fan base? I mean, you and I have kind of been on the fence, and we're not going out with the pitchforks and trying to rip Dick Monfort apart, but this was the move that needed to be made. And again, we haven't made a move yet, but if this is where we're going, this is another example of Dick Monfort basically just saying, I like my guy. I like this guy. And I know the fans have been... everybody agrees. Fans all agree. They don't care. And it's not a knock on Bill Schmidt. He might go on to do some great things. He might be a GM. He may even work out for Colorado. But the move that's necessary right now is to finish the season and then hire a new guy that's not a part of your organization right now. Bring in a... What did John Elway do? Like, that's... I'm sorry, but Elway did a Pat Bowlen thing. You guys want to knock John Elway? And I've made fun of it. I have. But now I've made fun of the whole... You know, I'm getting a promotion by doing less. But John Elway finally said, listen, I'm good at this. I was good at this at one point, but I'm not getting it right now. I need someone fresh. Rather than just hiring his guy that was beneath him, that was a yes man to him, he went out and got the most sought after GM, prospective GM in the league, in George Payton. Whether it works out or not, fans were going, I think they respected John for that. You admitted that you're kind of not... The magic that you had when you first got here for those first 5-6 years is gone. So you brought in a new guy. Why can't Dick Monfort do that? And again, it's not a knock on Bill Schmidt. It's more or less about the move that was needed. And if this is the case, does that mean Dick Monfort really doesn't care at all? I mean, I know that GMs and owners always say, hey, if I listen to the fans, then this thing would be a train wreck, but... Isn't this one of those things where like 98% of Rockies fans agree they'd like some new blood coming into town? And if so, Dick Monfort doesn't care. He really doesn't care. Those emails that he used to write to fans saying, you know, I'm starting to wonder if this state even deserves a team. Does he not care? He's a good guy. And like outside of sports, he's a good guy. He's a great man. He's done some amazing things in this community, in Greeley, and throughout Northern Colorado. I know he's going to be involved in that Habitat for Humanity breakfast that you were hearing about in the mornings with Gail. And those are all great. But when you look at his baseball side, his baseball resume, you just get this sense that he doesn't care. Elway cared. Hell, Elway cared so much he started Tim Tebow over Kyle Orton because the fans were chanting. You know there was pressure from the fans. I'm not saying you listen to the fans all the time, but when it's like this obvious, you bring in somebody new. Boy. And this team will probably always be like this then. Dick Monfort's probably not going to sell it. And you're going to keep hiring within. Like if you work at a bad company, And they just keep hiring the same guy. Oh, this is a bad company. We're going to hire the sales manager to be the GM. Okay, then that guy ran it to the ground. We're going to hire that guy's sales manager to now come be the GM. We're going to keep this cycle. He learned all of his stuff at this bad company. So why would you keep doing this? It's kind of the definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. That's what he's loyal. He is a loyal man. He's loyal to his people that work for him, both on the business side and in the sports business side. But you can be too loyal. Look what Pat Bowlen did. Mike Shanahan was his friend. And he finally looked at it and said, dude, you keep going 8-8. 7-9, 9-7, 8-8, 8-8, 9-7. We're not going to the playoffs anymore. It's time to move on. Pat Bowlen fired probably his best friend. I don't know, maybe close to it. He moved on from his best friend. Dick Montfort can't move on. That's a frustrating thing. And as much as we're rooting for these players, and maybe he works out, but right now the optics don't look good. Texter, Will County Swami. Dick can't hear the fans behind the millions he's making from the people who just go for the experience. And yeah, I'm not a boycott guy. Life's too short. If you like going to Coors Field and drinking a $300 beer and playing beanbags in the party deck, then do it. Life's too short. Go do it. He's created a hell of an environment there. So I'm not knocking fans for doing that. Because there are plenty of fans that are like, hey, it's something to do, and it's freaking awesome. It's Coors Field. The Cubs used to have that until they started getting good again in the 2000s. It used to be just like people want to go to Wrigley Field. People want to go to some of these fields that are just awesome to go to. So I'm not really faulting the fans, but that's how it's going to be. All right, 50 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number one. I want to get more into this Rocky situation. The Nuggets, we'll talk about that. Where are they? We're going to see if we can get Harrison Wynn on the program in the second hour from DNVR Nuggets. Drew Locke, here's a question for you. Do you think it's fair to say, well, Drew just, he's had so many different offensive coordinators. No wonder he's not getting there. Or do you think, no, he's a professional football player. Shouldn't matter who his boss is. He should be getting it. Talk about all that next. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, a little note, our guy Aaron Rath, color commentator for the UNC Bears, putting together his position previews. Check out the tight end preview dropping at 1310kfka.com shortly. Those are great. I mean, we're not getting a lot of... I mean, not until we get to August, about what this team's going to look like for the UNC Bears. So Aaron putting in the work to kind of give you an idea of what this Bear, other than Dylan McCaffrey, right? Everybody knows Dylan McCaffrey, but what else? There's a lot to go with this team, and I'll be curious to see how it all unfolds. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301, 970-478-1301. Brand new sponsor of the show, that's Tilted Barrel. You can obviously stop by. That's a great place. But they do DoorDash, Grubhub, all of that. You can call directly 970-619-8950 or stop in. I love it. They got all the TVs there. I was watching the Rockies game there the other day. Not a lot of places subscribe to that channel and get the package that has a AT&T Sportsnet with the Rockies on it. So if you want to go check out the Rockies, the All-Star break is this weekend in Denver. That's absolutely crazy. I'll tell you where not to go this weekend, Colfax. If you're not going to the All-Star game or the Home Run Derby, don't go down to Denver, man. It's going to be nuts. They're saying, though, the tickets for the Derby are like way more than the actual All-Star game. More people are interested in going to the Home Run Derby. Would that be you? You'd be more or less wanting to go to the Derby rather than the game?
I'd rather just go sit in a bar and have a cheaper beer, yeah, to be honest.
Well, All-Star games aren't like appealing. I remember the Nuggets had it at the Pepsi Center. Nuggets, it was at the Pepsi Center one year. And it was cool, but it didn't really like All-star games just are not appealing to me.
No.
The skills competitions are... The Home Run Derby's probably the most exciting of all of the pro sports skills competitions, but it's exciting for Denver. You know, it's exciting for Colorado. It's cool. It's going to be... It's a weird situation, how it all unfolded, how they got it here and so fast. But, yeah, it's coming to Colorado, and Denver's going to be nuts. If you're not going to those games, you might want to... You might want to steer clear. What a windfall to open up McGregor Square during All-Star Week. Good businessman. Yeah, you ordering the fight this weekend? Connor's unretired? How many times has he retired?
At least six.
Six times, man. Yeah. That guy just retires. I think he just retires in between fights because technically he's not fighting, so he's retired, and then he just comes out every time. 57 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. When we come back, let's catch up with Harrison Wind. Let's look at the Nuggets. Let's talk more about Jamal Murray. What does Harrison think about all this Jamal Murray stuff? Is it much to do about nothing? Talk about it next.